Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Mac 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X ambassador, Kendra Maples. I am very excited for the guests that we have in the studio today. We have Vicki McAllister, who's the chair for the Senior Advocacy Group of Ahwatukee. So SAGA is what you'll hear us refer to it as throughout the day as well. Derek Johnson, who is vice chair, and Amy Nichols, who we'll kind of talk about her relationship and how she's involved with SAGA. I want to throw it over to Vicki first. So, Vicki, I know a little bit about your background and your 44 years experience with healthcare and retirement communities and that sort of thing. I want to hear how you got involved with SAGA, and then we'll kind of hear about, you know, Derek, your role in all of this as well. Vicki, you go.
Well, just briefly stated, one of our volunteers invited me to come to a couple of SAGA meetings prior to a 2014-2015 conference. So I was observing, helping if I could, and then, of course, became a member later. And today, you know, we have 22 members. Last year, I'm really excited to say we had an outstanding conference, February 9th, hosted by Amy Nichols and the ARC Center, who's with us today as well. Amy's one of the original directors, founders of SAGA, filed in November 5th, 2013. So she has a lot of history with the organization, but it speaks to how we can all work together, partner, and provide a vision for how we can best serve our seniors in Ahwatukee. And I think one last point here, that site is a beautiful venue. We had 400-plus participants with a standing 290 people there at all times, 23 sponsors, which has allowed us to bring money back to the community this year, this past year. And Derek will speak more eloquently about that. And I think it's best to just say we're a nonprofit providing charitable support, resources, education, and advocacy for the senior population in Ahwatukee.
And that SAGA conference where you had those 400 attendees plus, you said the money that you were able to receive from that conference, that is now going to support mainly transportation for seniors, correct?
And giving money back, I'm going to have Derek speak to that because he's the one that did quite a bit of work with our partners here to create the outline and be able to vote on this, and was unanimous support to provide this gift and transportation support.
Awesome.
So thank you, Vicki. I got involved, actually. I'm a first responder in the Ahwatukee area, and I got approached one day by one of the founders, who her name was Linda Yoakum, and a very beautiful lady, and she was wanting to know what could SAGA do to help individuals when first responders showed up. So we got together, and they had already had a program they were working on. It's just called MedStats, and it's just medical statistics. And it just basically has medical emergencies, contacts. It also has just medications and allergies. But we looked at it, and we kind of expanded it, and we started saying, well, what do people need to do besides just those general things? So we started looking at simple things like who's going to take care of your house if you have to go to the hospital? Who would take care of your pets? How do you contact your neighbors? So we just put some information. We call it things to consider. We also found out that, unfortunately, a lot of people, emergencies happen when they happen. And sometimes the legal matters aren't taken care of prior to that. So we have some things in there that we talk about the Attorney General's office about living wills or do not resuscitate. We have some links on our website, actually, that will take you to those things because we want to keep that information that's up to date at laws change and things like that. So what kind of spun out of that was I got invited to be part of SAGA. And as we started looking at just seniors in the Ahwatukee area, we found out that a lot of them are isolated, a lot of them are lonely. That's something that happens with pretty much any community. We also found out that we had individuals that were not knowing how to navigate healthcare or navigate just the challenges in life. That's probably a better way to say it. So what was great about Saga was is that it was made up of a beautiful community of people who are already in Ahwatukee and already doing things for seniors. And then part of Saga is how do we bring them together? And then also how to make sure that the residents have some awareness of who they are and the things and the services they can provide.
And thanks to the work that Derek did, we were able to update the med stats and get it onto our website so families from Iowa or back east could help their loved one in Ahwatukee and be able to access the Attorney General website for additional, the 25 forms that are on there that provide the senior still having choice in what matters to them in advanced directives and advanced life planning. And the additional form allowed that was added allowed them to specify how they wanted their dog taken care of and how to secure their home should they need a ride to the hospital, or if they were unconscious, they would certainly have their wishes honored. And I think that's really important for quality of life of a senior.
Absolutely.
And I want to honor Derek here today, too. He's vice chair, but he will be our new chair for SAGA starting January 1st, 2020. Ooh.
Congratulations.
So we've got some great ideas for next year, too.
I have a great individual to follow.
It seems like a great fit for you to step into that role, though. Yeah. So I do want to hear more about the program and providing transportation, but I do want to hear, Vicki, right before we went on the air, you started to explain that relationship between the ARC Center and NEOPIS and SAGA and kind of how all of that's connected with Amy here today.
Well, absolutely. And I think a proposal was submitted, but I think it's predicated on some fundamental statistics from AARP and several other, Cigna, several other, Kaiser Permanente, many others have statistics to back up the importance of those that are homebound, isolated, or lonely. And not necessarily all three, but the demographic is really telling. And SAGA has provided awareness and training of volunteers around these key components. And I'll just summarize and Derek can jump in. But essentially, two-fifths of older adults and those in midlife, they do know their neighbors. 13% know half of their neighbors. And this is a summary of what was in the research stats. 46% knew few to none of their neighbors. So that's extremely telling. Almost half don't know their neighbors around them. And then of that, of those folks that are isolated at home, only 43% of those get transportation from friends and family. So what do the other 57%, how do they manage transportation? And public transit doesn't meet all those needs. So if you're homebound and or isolated and lonely, you're at greater risk for not getting the support you need for important transportation needs. And so those research statistics really create the foundation at understanding that transportation is one of the key factors that contribute to those that are homebound, isolated, and or lonely. And it made sense for us to begin to look at ways that we could supplement transportation in Ahwatukee. And Derek was instrumental in putting together a proposal that allowed us to look at all these demographics as well as which partners in Ahwatukee would be able to help us further and advance the support for our seniors in Ahwatukee. So do you want to add to that before we go much further?
Sure. One of the things that we found out was that when you looked at isolation and loneliness, as Vicki was saying, there's a lot of national information on that. So we wanted our research to be current, but we wanted it to be based on scientific research, not just a lot of anecdotal information. So just to give you some quick stats, one of the things, there's a difference between feeling lonely and then being lonely. And so one of the things that, and this is from ARP or AARP and from the University of Michigan, what they found out is that the feeling of loneliness among adults age 50 to 80 represents about 34% of the population. those who felt isolated represents about 27% of the population. There's a lot of things that go with that. There's health issues. There's just families moving away, or maybe even losing a spouse, losing people in your social group. So one of the things that we thought about was, is that how can we prevent it, as well as how can we help those who feel that way, especially with seeing the number that 34% felt at times isolated versus those who, the 27% that are isolated. So one of the things that we thought about was, what's the simplest and probably most basic thing that people do on a regular basis, and that's shopping. We all just kind of go shop. It gets you out of the home.
Probably more than we need to shop, but yes.
Unless you go to Costco, where you got to buy 100 of everything. But yeah. Other than that. So we started looking around, and we thought, well, what are the barriers to shopping, if that's what we were going to choose? And when you start talking to people, what we found out was, is there's a lot of, and I really mean this as sincerely as I can, there's a lot of older people who just feel embarrassed about losing their life, simple day life abilities. And it's just an embarrassment. No matter how much we rationalize it or say don't be embarrassed, it is very embarrassing to them. So sometimes when you ask them, it's not that they don't want to tell you. It's the embarrassment they feel, because that embarrassment runs deep. It might be they lost their ability to drive, or maybe they don't have family members. One of the things which is not good or bad, we start asking, and it becomes embarrassing. Your kids don't come pick you up anymore. You don't have the social circles. So sometimes just as simple as just saying, if you had this opportunity to go shopping and we can make it enjoyable, would you come? And a lot of times the answer is just yes. But you have to turn it into something social, not something that they feel like they're being dependent on something. So we started thinking about that, and we thought about some of the partners in the community. The ARC Center, YOPUS. If you ever go there, you just see people having fun. They just, when you walk in there, people just seem to be having fun. So we approached them and just said, hey, if you could come up with something to deal with transportation, what would you like to do? And I'll let Amy talk about that. And they came up with a great program, and we thought we could help partner with them and support them. And we found a great partner.
That's fantastic. And Amy, tell us a little bit about the ARC Center first, and then you can kind of go into what that idea was that you supported them with.
Right. The ARC Center is actually the Ahwatukee Recreation Center. So for those who don't know what that is, we are a 55 and older HOA community. That means that you need at least one person age 55 or older residing in your home for any of the 1,628 properties in the ARC community. So we are not a senior community, so I think this is where we differ a little bit. We're active. We're retired. Unfortunately, I'm not retired yet, but I will be someday. Yeah. But retired, there are still people who are working after the age of 55, of course. So we try to address the needs for people between the ages of 55 and 105.
Okay.
And I have been with the Ahwatukee Rec Center about 13 years, and I've been the manager of the Ahwatukee Rec Center for about six of them. So it's a great place to be. Now, what happened is I got a contact from Jill with the YOPUS group through the YMCA. They have something called the grocery bus, where they take people on a YMCA bus on senior shopping day, of course. And we all love a discount, so you get the 10% discount. And they pick them up at their homes. They take them to a grocery store. They are able to get groceries. And then they transport them back home again. And from what Jill had told me, the beauty of this is they're not just getting groceries. They're doing it with their friends. So they become friends with the people on the bus. So it's also a social interaction. So you're feeding people and you're also feeding their souls. Isn't that cute?
And that first, Wednesday of the month is also discount day.
And there's just a great social climate. And I work at Wyopus, so I had the privilege of sitting in on one of the grocery runs. And there's singing on the bus, and you're letting them do their own shopping. You're just minimally assisting them to get those groceries into the bus and into their home. But it's a very social, fun event.
I love that.
So growing that program to a second grocery bus for the ARC participants and residents is underway in planning, so that it'll complement what we're doing with the first grocery bus. And again, another way to help people stay successfully in their homes.
Yeah, I love that.
So, and Amy will be working in tandem with Wyopus for that transition to that second grocery bus in the near future.
I love that. And how long is that whole kind of process, that whole program for somebody that gets picked up and gets to go sing on the bus and then go shop? I'm jealous. And then come back. How long is that for their day?
You know, we're asking them to set aside time between about 9 o'clock and noon. Okay. Now, all the homes in the ARC area or the Ahwatukee Recreation Center community, they're fairly close. But we're factoring in time for the bus to arrive at their home, for them to leave their property, get on the bus safely, then go on to the next home. Each bus can hold 6 people, and then a volunteer. And a volunteer is just a member of the Ahwatukee Rec Center who will ride along, help them if they need help getting on and off the bus. And then on the way home again, they drop them off at their home. So we're factoring about an hour time frame just to drop people off at their home. And not only drop them off, but help them get their groceries into their home. So we're trying to plug any holes or obstacles that people can foresee with this.
Yeah, I love that. And with this bus being associated with ARC, one of the things that you mentioned a moment ago is you said there's a difference between seniors and your organization, your area, because it's active. I caught that. I was like, wait a minute. I feel like my mom gets a senior discount, but she's very active.
Oh, no. Just because you're active doesn't mean you can't get that senior discount. You always get that senior discount or that free cup of coffee.
Right. Yeah. Why not? Take advantage. You earned it. Do you see the need for this to grow? Is there a demand? Because you said there's only 6 seats on that bus. And I would assume that others would be wanting to be part of this as well.
Right. You know, it's just one of those things where you need to let it grow naturally. Mm-hmm. You can't force people to take advantage of a free service. Mm-hmm. Now, I love the word free. And I would think if I was home and isolated, I would want to jump at the chance to get on a bus and join friends on the bus. But there's always that fear of a change and of stepping outside your comfort zone and where you're at. So what we're seeing is a lot of intent to want to take advantage of the service that's being offered, but we need to break through anybody's fears. And that's where saying we're going to have a volunteer on the bus to help them get their groceries into their home so they don't have to worry about, okay, now I have my groceries. How am I going to get back on the bus and then get off the bus with my groceries? And we don't want people to see that as an obstacle.
Mm-hmm. And how do they find out about this program in the first place?
Now, at the Ahwatukee Rec Center, we have a monthly newsletter that's delivered to their homes. So we're advertising the service in their homes. And if they want to participate or if they want information, and we are finding quite a few people want information, you just need to keep putting it out there until they become comfortable with the concept and want to take advantage of it. But it is in our newsletter, and we do send out internet blasts. Now, the internet blasts, I don't foresee that as reaching the people that will be taking advantage of the service. Where that will help is it reaches out to their neighbors, because everybody in the ARC community is 55 or older. So they tend to know their neighbors much more so than in what I call the family communities. And it's something where we have had neighbors contact me and say, I have this neighbor. They're interested in this. And at which point then somebody in the office will call them up, explain to them the program, and see if that is something they're interested in.
Gotcha.
And it's like any successful program, you're building relationships and trust, and they begin to see how, you know, they recognize our name, Saga, they recognize the ARC Center. The relationships continue to enhance that opportunity to connect together. And so it's a really great thing for Ahwatukee.
Yeah. Now, I've also noticed a little bit of a fallout with this in a good way. We had a couple of people where they saw in our newsletter that we're going to be offering this grocery bus service. And they had said, this is perfect for my neighbor. I'm going to go tell her. Another one said, I'm going to go tell him. And when they were talking to their neighbor about it, I followed up with these members and I asked them how it turned out with their conversations. And they said, oh, I just told them I'll take him to the grocery store with me. You know what? That is still a success.
A great outcome. It
is. You know, if they can have that community with their own neighbors, and they said, you know, they thought it was a great idea. And I thought, I'm going to the grocery store. Let's test it out. And they're like, yeah, it was no problem. So I thought, you know, it's still a positive outcome.
And I think that's the thing that for Saga, what's so exciting for us is that the idea, and when you look at these stats about what causes loneliness, you know, what causes isolation, and it's loss of that social, you know, circle, loss of either mobility because of health reasons or maybe financial reasons. And one of the biggest things, and I think it's the same when you're young and we're growing up, we need those connections. I think we get a little older, we get a little independent, we start building our lives, and then that part of our life has to be reinforced as we get older. And so what's so great about this is that, you know, telling someone about this opportunity led to someone saying, I'd like to connect more with my own neighbor, and I'll start taking him out, or I'll start doing this. And it just creates more of that relationship. And with Saga, being senior advocacy group of Ahwatukee, we're looking to create those kind of relationships because Ahwatukee's has parts of it that are very affluent, but just like any community, people start to just age out. And as they start to age, people think because it's an affluent or has affluence in the neighborhood, people don't need that help. They just think it's there or they know how to get to it. And it's very telling about how many people, as they get older and they lose those connections, they do need that help, and they're just, it's hard to reach out for.
And I might just add, too, is Saga's role here is to continue to build awareness around this issue. And we've done quite a bit of outreach in that endeavor as well in the past couple of years. But even if you can build awareness, that's the very first step. And these research articles that Derek's referred to and that we have here with us, 51% of persons 75 and older are living alone. So that places them at risk for isolation or loneliness or becoming homebound. And then 6 million people over 65 or older have a disability that prevents them from leaving their homes without help. Now, that sounds negative, and it doesn't have to be, but just creating a more awareness around those two key demographics, as well as the transportation issues that we already talked about, with almost 50% of people relying on someone else to help them with transportation needs. All of a sudden, you have an opportunity to look for areas to fill gaps in program development, or get grants, or give money back like we're starting to do through Saga to help our own community. So this is really just a start for doing more in the future that helps to shore up a gap or create awareness and training of volunteers that can be more connected to those seniors.
Are there other areas that you're already seeing as gaps that need to be filled? Or the other part of that might be, are there areas that you noticed there were gaps, but you're already changing and filling those areas?
I think, and this is something that we're not there as a society yet. One of the things we all felt that was very easy to fill a gap was through technology. We thought, oh, you could Skype, you could email, you could FaceTime. And what we're finding out is that not only do they may not have the opportunity to do that, but they also may not have the ability to do that. You know, FaceTime, you have to be able to see. you know, Skype or things like that. So there are opportunities there, but there's also limitations just because of the population that we're talking about. So that's why we saw with this transportation, with the grocery shopping, it still has to be a human connection. Mm-hmm. It still has to be convincing for that person, for all those reasons that we talked about earlier, that it takes cultivation, it takes working as a community, and it takes great partners like that we've had. So finding good partners, finding ways to have that human connection, mm-hmm. Not trying to prescribe how people should get over some of their limitations, but meeting them with their limitations and then trying to figure out ways to help them just do simple things like connecting. Mm-hmm. We were talking about one time about how people just sort of disappear from their community. Like maybe they're going to church and then they just kind of not there anymore. And then, well, you think, well, they can watch their church service, you know, on TV or by, well, they're missing that human connection where somebody says, okay, after the service, how are you feeling? How are you doing? So it's just things like that where we think there's gaps that we can work with great partners like we are to fill those gaps, but also address it. And that's what we really want to do. We want to find ways that we can kind of blend the two.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is to get people connected again.
So a lot of what is happening right now with filling the gaps is partnerships, especially.
Yes.
But then, Vicky, you mentioned earlier growing the volunteers and growing the Saga team. What does that team look like? Or is it just mainly volunteer-based?
Well, I think, as he alluded to, the fluidity here in meeting gaps is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the connection with wonderful partners like ARC Center. And I work for YOPIS, and we provide a lot of outreach programs as well. And I think the other piece to that is great, we have all this great technology today, but it's not a substitute for interaction, as the ARP article refers to. But on the other hand, if we can continue to build awareness around those most at risk, we can still look for the strengths that they have going for them, which allows them to still have choice, still stay at home, continue to do the things that they enjoy and build new relationships. And so often when they have to leave their homes, you know, it becomes of just a life-changing occurrence for them because they've left what's familiar. So all of the work that we're doing with partners, as well as Saga, YOPIS, ARC Center, and many others that are representative of our sponsors and members, are doing things to help them successfully age at home. And so as we train volunteers, you know, there's 6 or 7 key components that I have in my training program. It starts with the awareness building. It's in and the compassion that goes with that. And you're looking for the strengths. Mm-hmm. You're honoring confidentiality and respectful of the HIPAA regulations, even though this isn't healthcare related. And they certainly need to understand the limitations that are part of the vulnerable adult statutes so that they don't do something well-intended and turn out to be misunderstood and adverse for that senior. So personal choice and listening and not talking are key components to building a strong volunteer base, mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, go into the home and be a friendly visitor. And we've renamed the Friendly Visitor Program at YOPIS to Friendly Connections just for that very reason.
I like that.
So if you start off with a friendly phone call, that may be all that makes the difference for that person at home that's isolated, homebound, or lonely. But if it builds the relationships so that a visit can occur when both parties are comfortable, it's a win-win situation and it's not intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's respecting their space and their choices. And again, you're building on strengths and helping them stay home.
So is that something that the team will do? You said that it sounds like there's volunteers that will do cold calls and call and do an outreach kind of like that.
Well, yes, that's true. I oversee that piece of the program at YOPIS for Friendly Connections. And it's honoring volunteers that want to step into that role, as well as cultivating new volunteers that are interested in doing that. It doesn't take away from the other volunteer roles that we have, mm-hmm. at YOPIS. It's a different subject, you know, a different thing entirely than someone that's doing 100 volunteer. We offer 100 transportation visits a week as well. at YOPIS for medical appointments and other priority events in that senior's life. And so as you're growing volunteerism, mm-hmm. I think there's an opportunity for us to help other entities in Ahwatukee. I've trained 15 volunteers at Corpus Christi Church on these same components so that they can go into the home and do the same sort of visits. But each church, ARC Center is different, YOPIS is different, so you allow that entity to train their own volunteers, but perhaps SAGA can be the entity that provides some training or mm-hmm. additional support to help honor and respect and train and validate the senior as well as train new people. So there's a lot of things like that we're looking at. And I think the new ideas that we are starting to talk about for next year will be reflective in Derek's role as chair and our new board year. But we have several new ideas already that we're beginning to talk about. It's probably a bit premature to put those on the table today. But they're good ones. They're good, sound ideas that represent a need in Ahwatukee as well mm-hmm. as ways to work with our partners to make those ideas move beyond a need analysis to an opportunity to get the facts and figures and do it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then I'm going to interject because yes. you said cold calls, and they're not cold calls.
That's kind of
they're not cold calls. My understanding, it's more of an agreement when you talk to them and when they come in, and you can correct me, Vicki.
Oh, no, you're right. It's not a cold call.
Yeah, you talk to them first. You go through an onboarding process when you find out somebody's interested in the YOPIS services. And if it looks like there is that isolation, they ask them, would you like a friendly phone call once a week?
Gotcha.
Or at whatever interval? Because at the end of the day, they're adults. Mm-hmm. They can make up their own mind. They can decide what they want. And just like anybody else, they just don't want some random person calling them up and bugging them.
So how does that initial, I guess that's where the term cold call came from, is how are they getting, how are they interested, or how do they show that they're interested so that they get that initial phone call?
Well, I know at least at the Ahwatukee Rec Center, when we come across people that looks like they could benefit from any of the services by mm-hmm. YOPIS, or even the other people we've been in contact with, many of them I've met through the SAGA program, because the Senior Advocacy Group really is a group of business leaders that have come together for the expressed interest of helping the people that are, you know, older, that could use the services that are out there but may not be aware of them in primarily the Ahwatukee community. Mm-hmm. And so if there is something that looks like it would benefit them, I'll either put them in contact with the correct people, or else with YOPIS, I'll call up Vicki. And just recently there was something where I asked her about this individual, and I had said, but how is she going to get this service? And Vicki was on the phone, don't worry, we call her once a week, she's taken care of. Mm-hmm. So she's on the phone putting my mind at ease, don't worry. If you want, I'll stop by your house and check on her.
And and she was at the luncheon yesterday and very happy.
Oh, good.
So, you know, working together, you have these relationships of trust. And with the onboarding of new YOPIS clients, for example, I've done about 300 onboard visits in the last few years. You're able to identify where they're coming from, what their expressed interest and needs are, as well as 80% of all communication is nonverbal. And you can pretty much tell what the unmet needs are by that visit. So always respecting their confidentiality as well as their choices mm-hmm. is as simple as just opening your heart to learn how to listen better. So a person calling on the phone, then after you've determined that they would benefit or they're interested, it's a friendly call. Mm-hmm. It's how are you doing, and allowing them to tell you how things are going for that day or that situation. And then they come to trust the person that's calling them again.
Yeah.
Or the other services that we provide, they know they can be trusted.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's why the SAGA conference has grown so successfully the last few years, is they trust that name and they know we're bringing it to our community. Mm-hmm. So a lot of communities have a lot of great programs, but I think, as Amy alluded to and Derek, you know, it's people working together for the expressed interest and support to provide resources, advocacy, and education mm-hmm. to our older adults.
Well, I think just that human connection that you are involving in all of it. Derek, you mentioned earlier there's such a disconnect with some types of technology. Yes, we have technology, but there can still be a disconnect in parts that don't work out. But even just that phone call, there's a lot of organizations that are picking up on that. I worked for a few years with Wounded Warrior Project, and once a month, you know, you get on the phone, you have your phone calls of your veterans who have a birthday that month, and it's just a birthday call. But that human connection and like what you guys are doing is so vital. And I think that's lost with a lot of organizations. So I think you're correct. And that's what's helping that name Saga build in that area a little bit more.
And I think one of the most important things, and thank you for doing that for veterans, is that when you call, and you learn this being a first responder, if you're just showing up when there's a crisis, you're just showing up when there's a crisis. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't build relationships. That helps people, and that certainly helps them with their immediate problem, but you're not there before it and you're not there after it. And when people get older, sometimes they get pushed into systems, healthcare system, things like that, where they're just there for episodic reasons, or they're there for a problem that sometimes can't be solved. And so the things that Amy's been doing at the ARC and Vicky's been doing at YOPIS is creating those relationships, because I know I don't want to always talk to somebody when I'm in crisis, mm-hmm. like I am right now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not.
I'm here to help.
Yeah, you're here to help.
but you're right. Yeah, you want to reach them before they get to that moment.
And people, you know, we've all been in those places where you just want to eat dinner with somebody and laugh. You don't mm-hmm. want to have the trouble of the day. And one of the things they used to teach us when we were young firefighters was, when somebody waves at you on a fire truck, your job is to wave back. And they're just saying hi, mm-hmm. you know, they're just in, but then you see what happens when you don't wave back to a child or an older person. It's a very big sense of disappointment. So, you know, that's, I think the biggest thing, if people who are listening to this program today is our biggest goal is to get that connection mm-hmm. and then do it in ways that help with the individual, but also the volunteer, because it is hard to go and see people that are aging and knowing there's not so much that you can personally do for them. But I can tell you that, you know, those smiles, those conversations, letting them tell stories, sharing their life, their wisdom, it's good for both people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but don't you think the wonderful thing about Saga, getting the people together? So when you have somebody in different industries, people in different industries are coming together at one time, and they're talking, and you may not remember every single thing they say, but when you're talking to a person who could use that service, it's amazing how that person suddenly comes to mind. Even if the conversation was 6 months ago, it pops into my mind thinking, okay, I think they provided that service. So it's not just you trying to find out how to help that person. You know, you have a community of other people around you that you can contact to pull them all in together. Because I think every individual person has individual needs, no matter what age they are, and they're not always going to need the same person to assist them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they won't take it upon themselves to reach out for assistance. But like you said, Vicky and Derek, if you're listening, you can hear it, and then you can put them in contact with the people they should be talking to. And that's what Saga is. It's a network of people coming mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. And just to briefly comment on what Amy just said, when the ARC, allowed us to have our conference there, one part of the conference was just people who provide services for seniors. It was the Attorney General's office. It was just any business or agency you could think of. But they were in one part of the ARC Center. And people could go in there when they wanted to and come out. The other part, where 400 people showed up, we had people come and sing, do Tai Chi in a chair, talk about healthcare, talk about, I think the theme of our story, Vicky, you can correct me, was how to be happy as you're aging. or stay happy.
Successful aging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it was when you're sitting there, we couldn't have done that without the ARC. And what you heard when people came in, and this is something that I always have felt is a good compliment to anything you do when somebody doesn't know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people weren't talking about Saga. They were talking about how comfortable it was to be in the ARC. It was easy to get to.
A beautiful venue.
Yeah, it was done right. Then they were saying, when I went and talked to the vendors, and someone wasn't coming up and telling me, you need this. I got to walk through there and pick out what I needed. And then you kind of hear people talking, and they're like, this was a great event because I found what I needed, or I found what my neighbor needed, or this was just fun to be at. And I think that's part of also that partnering with great people. Then when we went to present a check to Wyopus, the great thing about it was they weren't talking about the check that Saga gave to Wyopus. They were talking about there's another opportunity for us to have fun shopping again. And that's, I think that's just the best part of, you know, being able to help people is it's not about them knowing it's you. It's just the goal that you had gets met.
And then Wyopus and ARC working together to meet that unmet need and grow that second grocery bus. Talk about partnerships. It's just, we've only just begun. I think the other thing too, that speaking of future growth and where we're moving, is identifying gaps is really just an opportunity with our community partners, mm-hmm. realizing we can do it to help our community. We're not trying to help Chandler or, you know, Sun City. And so it feels very comfortable where people know they can come forth with their ideas and be listened to about those ideas. But is that something we can do at Saga for next year? So the initial ideas and the brainstorming last week at our November meeting is going to lead to a board-directed activity, which includes some other great ideas here. So I think that even becomes a synergy in a community that's necessary, not just wonderful, but necessary when you see 10,000 people retiring a day and the age demographic for 65 and older is growing exponentially. There's not going to be enough government resources to help everybody with that age or that size of a demographic growing so rapidly. We have to be innovative by communities. Community by community. And I think, you know, we have a successful organization now that is whether the normal norming of a new organization. We're positioned well. We have people that care. We're giving money back. Mm-hmm. We're meeting our mission, which is something that I bring up every month in our meetings. Are we meeting our mission? So the growth of next year with great leadership and past great leadership, we will definitely be positioned well to help our own community.
It definitely sounds like it. And you chuckled when you said, you know, you're focusing on Ahwatukee. You're not focusing on Surprise and Chandler, these other areas. Do those other areas have similar advocacy groups like you guys? Or is this a very unique thing? Because it sounds like you're doing some amazing work.
Well, I think it's unique, not to say that other communities don't have a subset or an entity that they go to for first questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ours is very reflective of community partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will bear the test of time and sustainability.
And it's just reflective on that community, which, like you said, is necessary.
Yes.
And I think and I'm sure we're not reinventing any wheel. We're just people who care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everywhere. But I think what's maybe a little different, and when I learned the history of Saga, it was individuals in the community that saw a need, and then they did that voluntarily. Mm-hmm. They just kind of came together and said, we need to focus on some things. And so everybody who's involved is a volunteer, and that allows us to have a lot of fluidity, as Vicky was saying, so when we see a need, we can work on it. And we do it in a way that we're looking for partners in the existing community. And how do we bring them together to do more of the great things they're doing? Or like Amy said, you're sitting around and all of a sudden someone says, well, I can do that. One of the things that I thought was real interesting, I was giving a fall prevention presentation, and I run into someone in the community and they said, well, why are you doing this? And I said, you know, because falls obviously have, you know, change people's lives, and if we can prevent it, that's great. And I said, what do you do? And they said, well, I'm a financial advisor. So I thought, wow, what are you doing here? Because in my mind, they'd already made all their money, right? And she made a comment that she said, and she was on one of our past chairs, Angela Ashley. She said, Derek, when people age out to a certain place, and these are people who had everything in place, they had a pension system, they had a great job, they had a 401k, they just lived longer than their money. And it's the first time I kind of heard that comment. They live longer than their money.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, Derek, they get to a certain age, and a lot of these programs were based on people living to 65 to 80. Now people, because of modern medicine, are living into their mid-80s to 90s, mm-hmm. and they just don't have the capacity to make money, and then they're becoming poor. And so they don't have people to fall back on. And what clicked, and I don't mean to be dark, but there was a lot of suicide that I would see mm-hmm. of elderly people. And sometimes I think we think it's because of a health reason, which is it certainly can be. But she had shared with me financial troubles at that age lead people to committing suicide. And they do it through not taking their medication, stop taking care of their health, sometimes it's more violently. Mm-hmm. And that was something that never crossed my mind until she put it together. And all of a sudden, that whole issue of, and we have someone on our board, it's just about financial wellness for seniors. Mm-hmm. And you would never think that that is something that would be addressed, but we have people in our community through just having that conversation. And that's what I think is the beauty of Saga. Mm-hmm. In that Ahwatukee community.
And with that conversation of supporting for financial advising, you mentioned one of the situations that you've seen is suicide. Is that something that Saga is supporting a conversation with elderly as well?
We haven't addressed the actual subject of suicide, but we know that this isolation and loneliness mm-hmm. can drive people to that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of that piece of trying to be more proactive and looking at what can we do to stop people from having that spiral. We had someone here a while back that we were talking to had a tremendous life. I mean, you could write a story about this person's life. She was cutting edge in everything she did. Corporate America was involved in some of the biggest crisis that happened in America in her industry. And then started losing her eyesight. And she started becoming blind, is considered legally blind. Mm-hmm. And she was sharing with us, she said, you know, at one point, everything that I'd been working for, everything that I thought was going to happen in the future was going away simply because I was losing my sight. And she said, you know what, if I could have, I didn't mind dying, is what her comment was. Hmm. But she said, you know, she learned, and she's now I mean, if you ever listen to her story, she's when you get past your tears, you get inspired.
Yeah.
I mean, she is just a tremendous person, but.
And she was on the second podcast as an example of her developing, using the resources that were out there, but also developing other resources. And she is someone in Ahwatukee that networks with the last two or three clients that I onboarded that had visual impairment, mm-hmm. She reached out to them. And we've also added an opportunity to create a social structure at our Wyopus Game Day for those that are visually impaired. So it doesn't feel like it's a program that further isolates them or stigmatizes them. Mm-hmm. They can come together and be comfortable with a group of people having fun. So the isolation and loneliness and homebound is reflective of disability and financial risk and the other, you know, issues we talked about today. Mm-hmm. But if you can help empower people mm-hmm. and build awareness to the social structures around them, their neighbors, and the additional components that are reflective of suicide could be another whole conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. But if we're reaching out to our neighbors, maybe we can make a little bit of a difference and an inroad in creating awareness around those situations that are at risk, adverse for suicide. But if we tackle the isolation and loneliness and homebound, we will be making inroads into that whole, bigger picture issue.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing, too, just reflecting the income risk, $25,000, those at less than $25,000 in income, there's 36 million people struggling to make ends meet. So as we provide some additional programs, we wouldn't ever call those people in poverty. But what if supplementing a grocery trip just helps them live within their Social Security or their monthly income? They're empowered. They're happy. They're seeing the best options that are available to them. So we never further stigmatize by talking about the financial demographic or some of these other disability at risk. As I mentioned, over 75 and those that have over one disability can be at risk. But even building awareness about what are the risk factors, we just named five or six of them today, we can reach those people that are truly isolated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing some absolutely amazing work. I can say that I'm empowered and now I have the information so that I can share that as well. I only hope that this is something that other communities can start if they haven't done it already, that they can either support Saga or start something in their own community as well. I think a lot goes to say it's unique to the Ahwatukee community though, because of how supportive you are of each other, which is necessary. So we do have a few minutes before we're going to wrap up, but I want to make sure everyone has the chance to kind of give their last notes or ideas. And then I'll go back through everyone because I do want to make sure if somebody is interested in ARC or Saga or YOPIS that they know how to get in touch with you guys as well. But Amy, how about you? Any last thoughts or anything?
You know, I just think the Ahwatukee Recreation Center is appreciative of its community partners, the people that it's worked with within the Saga organization and all of its community partners. It's the Ahwatukee community really is a small town within the big town of Phoenix.
Thank you, Amy. You're a joy to work with. Thank you so much for all that you do.
And Amy, if anyone had any questions or anything about ARC and they wanted to touch base with you, how would they reach you?
Right. They can log on to our website. It is at arcaz.net and take a look at our website. And they can also send us an email from our website. And we'd be happy also to have any calls at the Ahwatukee Recreation Center.
Awesome. Thank you. Vicki, how about you?
I'm going to let Derek talk next, and I'll just wrap up.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'd just like to say thank you guys for the opportunity to have us on and share again what Saga does. But it's really based on the goodness and the kind-hearted people of Ahwatukee and the people we serve. And we can't thank people like Amy and Vicki in her role and some of the other partners. And can't really say much more than it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we enjoy it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Fabulous. And I just want to compliment Derek. He'll be a wonderful chair next year with our new board starting and totally supportive of all of that new. There may be some new vision that comes here. We have some ideas, but I think it'll further create a sustainability and building capacity and maybe reaching those that are maybe not aware even of the risk factors is just a small thing, but we don't even know what those other opportunities are yet. And I think we're positioned well to be listening, to be supportive, and to be advocates for seniors, which is in our purpose statement. Thank you for the opportunity
Absolutely.
This year to let us come together.
I'm glad that I got to be here today for this chat since I wasn't here for the last one. And if anyone wants to get in touch with the both of you, whether it's to be involved in Saga or get more information, how would they do so?
We're constructing our website. So you can go to Saga, Ahwatukee Seniors. You get this right, Senior Advocacy Group of Ahwatukee, but the Saga, if you put in saga.com, you'll find it as well. We're going to have some links on there where info where you can contact us, and we'll give you a call back.
Yes, and I would just say that's probably the best venue, but as the case manager at YOPIS, we certainly take calls for new onboarded clients and other needs and frequently get called through that through that means.
Okay. Is there a number that folks could reach you that way as well?
The main number is 602-212-6088, and they'll field it to me. But again, those calls that are generated through that dispatch line mm-hmm. provide all the transportation outreach to our WIOPIS clients, as well as fielding questions. A lot of people call just needing resources, and I get those calls. So mm-hmm. all of us are just working as a team, no matter what organization we represent. We have a common thread.
Absolutely.
And it's a great community. I've lived there 30 years. Thank you.
You're welcome. It sounds like you guys are doing some pretty amazing things. And like I said, I'm excited that I got to be here and have that conversation. So thank you again to the three of you.
Thank you, Kindred.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Mac 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some lean right. We lean business. Until next time, this is Kinder Maples. Thank you for listening.